Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Dzogchen count is called Yellow Electric Warrior, and it is the third day of the White Wizard Wave Spell. And it is also the third day of our new year. Our 365-day year is a 13-moon year. It counts instead of 12 months of uneven lengths, 13 evenly lengthed 28-day months. So 13 times 28 is 364 days, and then there's a day between years that we just celebrated last Thursday, the day out of time. I'll talk about that in a minute. But we're at the beginning of the natural time year, the beginning of the Mayan year. The Mayan year always began on July 26th, in a really rigorously authentic ancient Mayan situation. There was less focus on 28-day months and more on 28-day venals. A venal is a 20-day segment of time that they call, I mean, they called it a venal, but maybe it would be like a very short month, and there would be 18 of these venals to make up 360 days. And then at the end of that 360 days, 18 venals, there's a five-day ceremony called a vayeb. And I'm just mentioning that at the outset, but I'm not going to keep talking about it all year because we've kind of let go of that pure, authentic, rigorously ancient Mayan perspective because it really is abstruse. It doesn't make logical sense to us. And we already have the Dzogchen, which is sort of illogical and esoteric and entirely alien. So if we had two competing, outrageously different calendars than months, I think the whole thing would collapse. So we have instead the 13 moon year, which is a more universal picture of indigenous time tracking that does away with the heavily colonized and heavily Catholicized Gregorian calendar, the Gregorian calendar being the one that we all live by with its 12 months of uneven lengths, named for Pope Gregory, who was in ascendance right at the time that the New World was being discovered / desecrated by exploration from Europe. So the Americas came under the governing and super destruction of these immigrants, these Spanish conquistadors and the people from other European lands as well. And in all of that, they enforced and applied a different calendar than what one would find in all these territories that were taken over, where we would imagine people following a calendar that's based on the lunar cycles as well as a feminine menstrual cycle. And so the 13 moon year that we've just begun is orienting us to, like I said, a kind of universal picture of 28-day months, 28-day moons. And Jose Arguelles is just really fed into Mayan history, but intersected it with all history of pre-industrialized, pre-colonized, tribal, indigenous situations. And so it's a celebration that we start now anew, and that we keep ourselves tracking time in these rhythmic, even months or moons that are 28 days long. And we are in the magnetic moon. I think that right now we're going to talk a lot about the beginning and ending of the year. So the white wizard wave spell will come into play, but I am kind of immersed in the newness of our natural time year. The day out of time that preceded our new year, I'd just like to reflect on that and remind you to reflect backwards to Thursday, July 25th. It was Red Cosmic Skywalker on the Zulkin, and definitely because of that, auspicious idea of being in the sky, of being pretty disassociated from our bodies and extended way out into the outer layers of the atmosphere and picking up on frequencies that are not earthbound and being prophetic, that day felt very much out of time, very like lost in the other vibration than logic or anchoring oneself in reality. And I want to say that for me, the second half of the day was really anxiety driven. It was impossible to sleep. It was kind of like being amped up with the anticipation, or maybe like it was being fed into me. You know, the eve of the new year was already feeding me this energy of change into the magnetic tone. Because I really strongly describe the magnetic time every year, the magnetic moon that begins every year, as a real whiplash from the cosmic moon that ends every year. So we end the year in this state of being one with all, which is pretty delightful when it's cultivated, when we have 28 days of it. It's nice to have the musculature of being in the moment, being present, and transcending suffering, enduring, being uncomfortable, and having it shift into acquiescence that rests us in a peaceful, tranquil state. I mean, that was how I experienced the cosmic moon that we just passed through. And then it's always just like kind of a shock, like being slapped awake to go into the magnetic tone, the beginning of something that's very impressively active in the sense that there's a lot coming at us. It reminds me of like a Star Wars movie when the big spaceship is moving through like an asteroid field and everything is just seemingly, you know, streaming right towards the pilots, whatever they call that, space cockpit. So for me, being in the magnetic moon, being magnetic myself, attracting my purpose for the year, there's a lot coming at me. And it's different than being present with what is in a kind of disseminated space of presence, meditative restfulness, powerlessness of a sort. That's part of what I experience as the cosmic time. It's just like you're not going to do a lot or try to control a lot. You're going to be with what is. And then suddenly in the magnetic moon, we may not be able to control anything, but we have to make decisions about what to dodge that we're attracting, what's coming at us, or what to receive. I just think we have a lot of reactivity or responsiveness that's asked of us, and it shifts from doing very little to being alert and attentive and resourceful. And after 20 years of studying the calendar, for me, I add to it, like, be discerning. What is going on? There's purpose entering my life. But I know from all these other years that in the lunar moon, a bunch of it's going to fall away. So I kind of spend this time discerning, like, what is coming at me? Is it something that is kind of an obstacle that I'm going to have to face? Or is some of this just like pure potential empowerment, meaning it doesn't have a kind of shadow side. It is my light. So let me say it that way. Like, we're attracting shadow and light right now. But clearly light, when we attract it, is infusing us with energy. It's putting us in a place of warmth in ourself, you know, the fire of our heart. And the shadow, I think, is more of an invitation of where we take the light that's brewing within us into uncomfortable parts of ourselves and parts of our lives. So in the magnetic moon, I think the anxiety or the sense of like, wow, it's a lot, there's a lot here, is because we are grappling with the learning that we're going to do unfolding over a whole year. And by the way, as I think many of you are already aware, we're in a magnetic year as well. So we went from a cosmic moon and a cosmic year, which means we really, really were in the height of cosmicness, to a magnetic moon in a magnetic year, which in the magic turtle explanation means, again, that we have this doubling of energy, and it's exponential, and it's intense. So we went from something really cosmic to something really magnetic. We're in that transition, and it feels different. But I think I'm using myself as an example for now. I haven't forgotten all that I gained in terms of relaxation and restfulness and humbling myself to what is. Like, that's a strong muscle after a whole year of the cosmic tone. And so it is still with me. I'm taking the purposefulness or the increased dynamism of this new year, and I'm still anchored in a lot of willingness to kind of watch and see and wait. See how long that lasts. Okay, so quickly then, let's shift tones and let's talk about the Dzogchen. I think we did talk about the magnetic energy that has been white magnetic wizard and blue lunar eagle the last 2 days. That would be shadow and light for this 13-day wave spell. We attracted our purpose on the first day of the year, July 26th, for the whole year and for 13 years. You know, it's all in there. But if we make it about 13 days, the purpose for our wave spell is the energy of white wizard. It's about timelessness and enchantment and receptivity. Those are the words Jose Arguelles assigned to the white wizard totem tribe hieroglyph. And white wizard, the picture of the hieroglyph, think of this now for this wave spell, this year, and this 13 years of white wizard wave spell. Always go back to the hieroglyph, because it doesn't have like imaginal renderings. It's not colored by Jose Arguelles' blue spectral monkey nature, certainly not by my blue overtone storm nature. You can be your own authority meditating on what you see in the hieroglyph. So what I see, and you follow along at some point, I see the parting of curtains to enter a sanctuary, and inside there is a place where the eye of God watches over you, because I see the eye of God at the top of the little stele, and then I see what people sometimes describe as like clouds or puffs of energy or smoke or breath that mean that God, Hunabku, the one giver of life, maybe it's the sun itself, is penetrating this space. And if you enter the sanctuary, you'll receive the healing directly from source. But the shaman, the white wizard, is the one that created that space and summoned you there, and also knows how to create spaces that God enters. So the shaman is the medium for you to develop a powerful relationship to God that will heal you. This is the, you know, ancient version of a surgeon, the medicine man, the medicine woman. And so it's not a place to go and find out if you're going to have a boyfriend. It's not a fortune-telling tent. It's a place to go and have a remarkable transformation, an alchemical healing, be rid of your demons, to be completely filled and surrounded by pure light, love, all those energies that seem to come from the divine realm. And so this wave spell and this year and this 13-year wave spell are introducing that concept. And one of the things I like to talk about in terms of the White Wizard time, I'll talk about it relentlessly and you'll want to tune me out, is that it's not just a time of healing. It's really clear that if you need that level of healing, then you have been harmed or just hurting. You have an ailment of some kind. So it's about that. It's about both. It's about being unwell and needing divine assistance and the empathy and intensity of the shaman who will get you to the place where you can receive that divinity. And it's about the wellness that comes, but it's also about the woundedness that invites the whole process of healing. And I think that's perfect for the time we're in the last couple of days, indicating this wave spell as well as the year and the 13 years. Things are, you know, grotesque and difficult on a cultural level again and again and again. It's just sort of relentless. And maybe that extends to your personal life or maybe not, but I think we're just going to be looking at really apocryphal, powerful, fairy tale level dramas here and this year and beyond, that we're going to be living the hero's journey, but through a lot of hectic pandemonium that can inflict harm. So this wave spell continues to be a microcosm for you to get a sense of how the year and the longer wave spell is going to shake down. So White Wizard is what I've already described, and then it got these words, like I said, timelessness, where things aren't really nailed down to specific arrivals and departures, that it's hard to be on time, on point. That's because of this great image of like the absent-minded ancient wizard who's so busy with remedies and spell casting that they don't really have a concept of, you know, other people's schedules. They're not rushing to get the farming done. They are separated, segregated away from the produce or the productive part of a tribal world. You know, the survival that comes from the crops is attended to by the farmers. A shaman doesn't have to be involved in that and is required to be involved in many other things. And their attention is always on sort of the critical dynamic solutions and not in everyday occurrences. So we have that going on. And then enchantment, that's just that reference to the fairy tale life where things are going to have spells and we're going to be amazed and awe of kind of the magical realm that surfaces. It's kind of a sparkly time with unicorns and mermaids. I mean, all these things that we fantasize about have their role in enchantment, but they're also like vampires and you know, these warlocks and all these other things that show up in fairy tales. Predators exist in enchantment. And receptivity, that third word. How the heck does that fit in? Where does Jose Agrelis tie that to the Maya? I would just refer back to the hieroglyph and say it's, if we are the shaman at the center of this story, and we are White Wizard ourselves, then we will have a receptivity to the divine realm and the sanctuary we create. And we have a receptivity to those seeking help from us. So again, there's not a lot of ego-driven action if we are in the power of White Wizard, if we're truly devoted to it, not avoiding its experience. I think if we avoid White Wizard because we don't follow the calendar, I mean, I just don't know how to explain this. Like, nobody follows this calendar except a handful of people on the planet. So I mean, maybe thousands, but it's a very small percentage. And so, given that I believe it affects everyone, there are a whole bunch of people that are not thinking about being shamans. And I would say that then the white wizard time is going to teach them that they have to grapple with shamanism through the back door, through some kind of, you know, subtle energy shift. It's going to be, you know, not them invoking, like, I'm going to find out what part of me is a healer, a great healer. And the rest of us, the few of us who are in the percentage point of paying attention to the calendar, can have a little more empowerment and say, well, I'm not going to be like trying to get everything done that I want to right now. I'm going to be receptive. I'm saying it awkwardly, and I'm truly affected by Mercury retrograde when it comes to communicating on the podcast. That's just the way it is. I don't have the same word agility, and I apologize. But I'm just trying to suggest that White Wizard and the magnetic tone that we're in and the magnetic year of White Wizard, I mean, just that synthesis of being magnetic and White Wizard is so much about seeing what comes to us and not about going after things in a kind of driven way, like trying to attain anything. Never, not that at all. We just hold ourselves open for those who need our assistance. We hold ourselves open for the fate that's being provided for us. We're receptive. We're attractive in the magnetic tone, and we're receptive in White Wizard. I love the White Wizard wave spell, except for the dark enchantment. But it's an interesting thing because I just really love this wave spell. And here it is, invoking the year and invoking the 13 years. Do we get to love the next 13 years, some of us who love White Wizard? Let's see. Let me get into what's coming. I'm lost in enchantment and timelessness. What's coming? Well, what is right now is Yellow Electric Warrior, guided by Yellow Electric Sun. This is Sunday, and it's the 28th of July. And that means that somehow today, somewhere, you're going to have a fight. That's all I want to say about it, because I think it's really, like, you get to have the childlike reverie, the enchantment, by just saying, okay, on a Yellow Warrior Day, there's going to be a fight, because that's like the release valve for fighting. So a lot of fighting that could happen on a Blue Storm Day. There's fighting that could happen. Let's see, what's another one that just seems like it could just have high fever pitches? I think Yellow Sun could be really fiery, and I think that Red Serpent can be really defensive and snarky. So I'm not saying that you can't have conflict on other days, but this is a day of war. So check out and see what ends up being the war. And it's the day of the warrior, which means preparation for war mostly. You know, it doesn't mean that one moment of actual combat. It means that's also tiny compared to the training to be ready for that moment. So Yellow Warrior of the Day is also us noticing, well, I'm a little more armored, and you know, I have this preparedness for war happening in me, which looks like less emotion and more tightened down, taut muscles in some way, you know, maybe metaphoric, and fearlessness. You get to be less afraid when you're ready for something really strong and dangerous. If you've trained for it, then you have a certain kind of bravery that's endowed by how you know that you have tried really hard to be ready for the moment of it's a not knowing what's coming, but a willingness to take it to the very end where death lies. So that kind of fearlessness is very nice in a Yellow Warrior Day. And then we will flip on Monday, the 29th, to, I know what it is. I'm just thinking about what to say about it. It's Red Self-Existing Earth. It's very hard for me to predict activities on a Red Earth Day. And I'm not really into predicting the future anyhow, but Red Earth is an evolution. Something changes in the day, but like, like a slow rollout, because if you think of our planet, it sails and glides in its orbital. It doesn't take any crazy turns and twists. And so that's a red Earth day. We get farther on our journey in the span of a day, and we also can do it sort of, without havoc. And self-existing Earth is giving us the idea of form, of creating a foundation from which we will grow. And so there's just sort of a detail-mindedness or a desire to be foundational, to be in the planning stages, to make sure things are secured. It's hard to talk about because it's sort of a double groundedness day. And what do you say about groundedness? It's just more of like a weight that's going to keep you in close connection to the earth, actually. And then Tuesday will be the white overtone mirror, traveling again into the day, celebrating the sacrifice. Celebrating the sacrifice. It is human sacrifice, and in the old ancient story of Maya, it is not that now. It isn't a day that's specifying like some human will have suffering. You're the human. You're a human, but you're also in this day, maybe the priest supervising the death, meaning you're helping someone elevate to heaven. You yourself are facing all your fears so that you can elevate to heaven. You're watching somebody fall hard from, you're like a spectator at the bottom of a pyramid in the Mayan territories, looking up at the distant peak, seemingly a stairway to heaven, and the top, you could walk right into the clouds. You're watching somebody esteemed join the gods. These are the perspectives of a white mirror day. It's also a day where you'll notice a lot of reflective events. I mean, when I was first studying this calendar, I never was oriented to the human sacrifice. I had to learn about that. I sort of bumbled into that. You don't see Jose Arguelles talking about that. I don't think Eden Sky talks about it very much, but I talk about it all the time because it's the origin story of this day. But it's called White Mirror. You can just see it as, I am another yourself. Wherever you go, there's some kind of reflective indicator. You know, it could be in the landscape, it could be in a human, it could be in social media, meaning it could just be like some sign, some indicator, like this is happening to someone else, some entity other than myself and to me. We share the same kind of fate or experience. That's a mirror. I think that I love White Mirror personally because there is such a sense of connection when you run into someone who wants to do everything like you do. That's like an old exercise in PE class on a rainy day, like get with a partner and then mimic each other. You take turns where I move and then I move my left hand to my cheek and the person across from me does the same action. Or maybe you were in an acting class when this it was experienced, but that's White Mirror to me. That's the day where there's a delight that everything is not isolated in myself, but amplified with another person, feeling or saying or doing, embodying what I have. And then we have Blue Rhythmic Storm, which will be Wednesday, and I'm throwing that out. It's the August 31st, July 31st, the end of July, Wednesday. My podcast schedule is like, I might podcast at the end of that day. So I want you to be prepared that we'll have a blue storm day on Wednesday. And that'll be predictably cataclysmic, both of those things. It's a time of things being pushed to their pressure point and then they explode in tears or just another kind of outpouring in rage. but it's dynamic. And I think we're going to be ready for a blue storm day after all this transitioning. I think it's going to be part of what kind of blows the year truly in to its arrival, because we are just passing through change, passing through the end and the beginning of something. And it'll be kind of, I think, what shifts us into, okay, now we're really in the beginning. The ending is behind us. We're in the beginning now. And I want to remind you that, you know, we're in the second wave spell of 20 wave spells in the Dzogchen. This Dzogchen cycle is only 15 days old. So we were already in the beginning of the Dzogchen and the Red Dragon wave spell. And then we began the natural time year. And so now we've completed our entrance into the beginnings of both calendars, and we're almost ready to just blast into the fate, destiny that's being created for us. Look up birthdays at resonanttruth.com. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.